The timing of the Passover of Exodus 12 is one of the oldest controversies of the Bible. Was the Passover lamb slain late on the afternoon of the 14th and eaten that same evening? Modern Jewish practice and a considerable volume of Jewish writing today supports the belief that at the time of the Exodus, the Israelites ate the Passover lamb and departed from Egypt all in the same night, the night of the 15th day of the first month. This comes up every now and then. I have spoken on this a few years ago from time to time, and I've had people write me letters about this, trying to ask for more explanation from the sermon I gave here a few years ago. It's come up in other areas, a lot of times within the Church of God, where people have come and been convinced that we keep the Passover on the wrong day. Well, we should be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within, as Peter said. We should also grow in grace and knowledge, and certainly I hope in this subject today I want to give some things, and things I did not give to you before on this particular subject. One of the greatest areas of concern for people that they become convinced that it should be on the 15th is from the 16th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll look at that later and go through it more in detail when I come to it. But let's look at this subject here today, what the Bible and history reveals about this subject. We know Jesus Christ kept the Passover at the beginning of the 14th, but the Jewish people to this day keep it on the 15th. They will have their Seder meal in the evening. They don't sacrifice a lamb because there's no temple. Up until the destruction of the temple, they would sacrifice the lambs on the afternoon around 3 o'clock, about the same time Christ died. They would kill the lambs, but they would eat them and roast them and eat them in the evening of the 15th. And they argue, and many people, and sometimes people even in the church have become convinced at times, well, that they were right and what we are doing is wrong. So we'll look at this here today, and I think it's very important to understand exactly when we should keep the Passover and be able to give an answer and not become confused, because when you get confused, then you begin to see a lot of division. But it isn't that difficult, I don't believe. So I'd like to begin by asking, what is the scriptural evidence for the Passover being on the 14th as we keep it? Now, some will say, well, we acknowledge the 14th and that the lambs were killed on the 14th and so on. But, of course, they do not eat it. And let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and I'll try to kind of move along through this. And maybe we can appreciate a little bit of what the Bible does say on this subject. I think it, as you put it together, to me, it's kind of marvelous, exciting that we can actually understand and see. In Exodus 12, verse 6, of course, I don't want to read before that too much because we'll catch that here again later, but at a later week or so. But in verse 6, now you shall keep it, the Passover, until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall keep it at twilight. And indeed, that's really what the best way of translating that Hebrew term there is, and that it is the time between actual sundown and darkness. Roughly 30 minutes, let's say, anywhere from 20 to 25 minutes, depending on your latitude and so forth where you are. But let's just make it simple, let's say around 30 minutes in that period of time. So they were to keep that lamb until that time, and then they were to kill that lamb during the period of twilight, after the sun had gone down. And they were to do it on the 14th. Now, one thing we should keep in mind here is, are there two twilights in a day? One at the beginning and one at the end? No, there's only one at the beginning of the day. Now, okay, I should back up and explain. When is a day in the Bible? Well, it's from sundown to sundown. We'll see that here. It's in Leviticus 23. Actually, it says evening to evening. It is in Joshua chapter 8 and in verse 29 where it says evening is at sunset. Evening is at sunset, Joshua 8 and in verse 29. So I'm just giving you that ahead of time there. So there can only, with that understanding, when the day begins, it's not like ours, midnight to midnight, but sunset to sunset. So there can only be one twilight in the day, because when you come to the end of the 14th, or you come to the end of any day, when that sun goes down, that day is through. It's over. The next day doesn't start after it becomes dark. The next day starts when that sun has gone down. So there can't be a twilight at the end of the day belonging to the previous day. There's only one twilight. It's at the beginning. And because, well, as you will see when we keep the Passover here in 2 weeks, at sundown on that Sunday evening begins the 14th. When sundown the next night comes, what happens? We begin with the night to be much observed, don't we? We're in the 15th. And when does the 15th begin? It begins at sundown. And just like any day begins at sundown, and it ends at sundown. So the point here, when it says in verse 6, twilight is at the on the 14th, and then you shall, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill the lamb at twilight. A thing that we have always looked at in the church, and which is the strongest and greatest evidence, no matter what all these little arguments are, and people get caught up in these arguments, usually people who have been attending church or associated with the church either way. And sometimes people begin to get caught up in the arguments because they read it online somewhere from some blog or whatever that they have looked into. But the greatest of all evidence is our Savior. And when did he keep it? He did not make a mistake. He kept it at the beginning. We'll look at that later. And just as this original Passover, and I'll show you even some Jewish records that tell you the same thing, that originally, before the Babylonian captivity, the two feasts, Passover and Unleavened Bread, were separate feasts. And something happened that some way, either during or after the Babylonian captivity, the Jewish community, it became combined as one. But that was not the way it originally was. And I'll come to that here in a little bit. All right, a couple of things here about Exodus 12 that's worth looking at, especially when we get to the arguments and understanding it. Here's a very important point to keep in mind. Look at verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, after this is the blood of the lamb. And none of you shall go out of the door of his home or his house until morning. And the word means dawn. The word in Hebrew there means literally dawn. You are not to go out. Now that will be repeated in Exodus 34 and verse 25. That there it will say that none of the lamb is to remain until dawn. It is to be burned, and that's what we do every year with the Passover. The bread, the unleavened bread that was blessed but was not eaten as the tray was passed around and comes back up to the table where the minister is conducting the service. That bread that was blessed, that is left over, as well as that wine, it's the same thing, the bread will be burned. The wine will be poured out, and so that none is left. And we do follow that, and you'll see that in verse 10 here, that it was to be burned, and we do that. One other thing. Now, this is important that they had to stay in their homes until dawn, okay, of the time of the sacrifice. And because that's going to be very difficult to do that and come out on the 15th and have Passover on the 15th and come out and leave Egypt on the in the 15th in the dark, as you will see later. It couldn't have been done. It would have been a violation of what they were commanded to do. One other one that is worth taking a look at. Let me see. Where is it here? 22. Let's see. 20. Exodus 12. And when I lost my sight there or the spot, I wanted to. There's one other thing. I'm sorry. I'll come back to that here a little bit later. That you shall. All right, let me move on. So I missed a note here somewhere that I wanted. Oh, yes, here it is. Verse 26 and 27. Exodus in chapter 12. And it shall be that when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service that we're going through, that you shall say, well, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. Now, what's significant about that? When he passed over your houses, when did he pass over your houses? They were to kill the lambs at the 14th at twilight. That is the beginning of the 14th, not the end. That means that the death angel passed over on the 14th, not the 15th. That's important to keep in mind. Two things there. They were to stay in their houses until dawn. The death angel passed over on the same night they kept the Passover, which was at twilight of the 14th. And they were to destroy all of that lamb and burn its carcass, everything, before dawn. You'll see that in verse 10, which I didn't read here. But a couple points to keep in mind, because this is important later when you come into the argument, well, wasn't it on the 15th? Doesn't it say in Deuteronomy 16? We'll come to Deuteronomy 16 as we go along. All right, so we say here that this was the original Passover in Exodus 12. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, as I think all of you know, the holy days are all listed here. And just kind of a quick little review, Leviticus 23 and verse 5 and 6. Verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Now, I don't understand how it is that some will argue that that this can be at the end of the 14th, because if that is the case, then it's not the 14th anymore. The sun has gone down. That means it's the 15th. But it says clearly here that Passover is on the 14th at twilight, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Keep it for 7 days. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days long, but it begins on the 15th. The Passover is on the 14th. Very clear. It should not be a problem. But some people have even tried to combine the two and say that, well, isn't it combining them here? Well, how do you get a combining there when you have two different days that are mentioned? You have 14 and 15 that are both mentioned exclusively. Now, another thing to take in note as I'm going through this, because I'm working my way up to Deuteronomy 16 and spend some time there on it, is the fact of what are the verses in the Bible that in the Old Testament tell us when the Passover, because I began this by saying, let's look at the scriptural evidence for the Passover being on the 14th. And there are 14 scriptures, interestingly, 2 times 7, 14 scriptures in the Old Testament that say that the Passover is on the 14th. What's interesting is there's not one scripture that says the Passover is on the 15th, not one. The feast is on the 15th, that is, of unleavened bread, but not the Passover. Because here we have the second one, Leviticus 23. Now let's go to the book of Numbers. An interesting point as you're turning to Numbers chapter 9, is it tells us that the Passover was kept during the 40 years. And that sometimes has been a question, because apparently not all of the holy days were kept. We read later, but the Passover apparently was. Now, the book of Numbers was given to Moses in the first month of the second year after they left Egypt. You'll read Numbers 1, verse 1. But here in chapter 9, we have the Passover. look at verse 3, Numbers 9, verse 3. Well, look at that. On the 14th day of this month, at when? Twilight. You shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. And verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai. Well, there can only be one twilight in a day, and it's not at the end of the day, because at the end of the day is the beginning of a new day. And but it says here, you keep it at twilight on the 14th in verse 3 and again in verse 5. Then down in verse 11, we see on the 14th day of the second month, again, at twilight. Now, this is if you were sick or you were in a journey and you couldn't make it to the Passover service. It's one of the two scriptures here in the Bible that you could, a person, it was so important that God wanted it make it available for a person to keep it on the 14th day at twilight of the second month if they missed it on the first month. And of course, we have a second Passover every year. I can tell you when the second Passover is, 30 days after the first, which of course is going to be May the 9th and everything. So that's what verse 11, very interesting there. Again, notice it's on the 14th and it's at twilight. Numbers 28, we'll look at quickly at some of these. Numbers 28. And here, chapter 28 and 29 give the holy days. They give when they are to be kept. And they also give the offerings that were to be kept with them under the old covenant. But let's just look here at verse 16 and 17. 16. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. Again, we see it's on the 14th. It didn't include the twilight there, but we know from the previous verses that's the time of the 14th when it was to be kept, when the lambs were to be killed. And again, distinguishing it from the 7 days of unleavened bread, not combining or blending it, which many Jewish sources try to say is now the case, that Moses later, at the end of the 40 years, blended Passover and unleavened bread together. Well, we'll see if that's the case. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 33, on our way to Deuteronomy. Numbers 33, and take a look at verses 3 and 4. This is, in fact, if you read all of chapter 33, you see all the places where they stopped during the 40 years. And, of course, places you and I wouldn't know anything about. These are place names that maybe were understood, 2,500 years ago, but it would be kind of difficult for us to know all of those locations today. Verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, they departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Okay, that's the day they left. on the day after the Passover. Now, some will argue, well, it was the day after the Passover. Well, that was, they had it on the evening of the 15th, and the next day they left. Really? Remember, they couldn't leave until dawn. They had to stay in their houses, right? Well, let me read on, finish the verses here. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were bearing all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgments. I read verse 4 because stop and ask ourselves the question. If they went out that night on the 15th, after eating the Passover, and after the death angel would have passed through on the 15th in this case, not the 14th, going along with this argument or this belief, is it logical that the Egyptians also were out at night burying their dead? Wouldn't you think they would wait until dawn to bury the dead? Now, why is it that I would mention at night? Because now we go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy. There's one other point about the Exodus that is very important to keep in mind. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. By night. Let's put a few things together here. With chapter 33 of Numbers and verse 3. They went out on the 15th, the day after the Passover. They had to go out at night, right? And they had to stay, according to Exodus 12, and repeated, by the way, in Exodus 34, 25, they had to stay in the houses until dawn. Okay? How do you possibly go out on the 15th? If you, assuming it's a 15th Passover instead, that they ate it on the 15th, and you have to stay until dawn, and you go out in the same day in the dark. How do you do that? You don't. No, they kept it on the 14th, at the beginning, just as it said, at twilight. And then the next day is when they prepared, and we'll cover that in another sermon, going into Exodus, further into Exodus 12. You'll see how that it took them time to go to the Egyptians, receive things from the Egyptians, prepare themselves to leave through the day portion of the 14th, and they went out at night on the 15th, the day after the Passover. The day after the Passover. All right. Now, let's take a little further. Well, before I do that, go through Deuteronomy 16. I told you there were 14 different scriptures on telling us that Passover is always on the 14th, no exception. There's nothing that indicates or says in any way it's on the 15th. And you'll see that's the case when we do go through Deuteronomy 16 here in just a few moments. A couple other scriptures I'll give to you without turning to them, just to let you know. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 15. That again is the second Passover during the time, I believe it was Hezekiah. And when I think the temple was onboarded and they began to, they kept the Passover that year in the second month because the knowledge of it came too late to keep it in the first month. And so it says there in 2 Chronicles 30 verse 15 that the Passover was in the second month on the 14th day. Then in 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 1, Passover lambs, again, were to be killed on the 14th day of the first month. This is a couple of years later. In the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 19, after the captivity, coming back. Ezra came back quite a long time after the captivity. He would probably have, he would have been a much older man when he came back, because he came back in 457 B.C., and the first captives came back around 535 in that period of time. So you can see that's a number of years. The second temple was now completed and being used on a daily basis. But he says in verse 19 of chapter 6 that he kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And finally, in Ezekiel 45, verse 21, which is talking about the future when the Messiah comes and builds a temple in Jerusalem and the second coming and during the millennium, it says of the Passover, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, Passover is going to continue to be kept. Just as you see at the feast every year, we read Zechariah 14, when the Feast of Tabernacles will continue to be kept through the millennium as well. So here we have all these scriptures in the Old Testament showing that it was on the 14th. All right. One of the most controversial sections of scripture in reference to the Passover is found in Deuteronomy 16. Did Moses drastically change the manner of observing the Passover by combining or blending it with unleavened bread at the beginning of the 15th? How do we explain Deuteronomy 16? Well, let's look at some of the background to begin with, and then go through verse by verse. We'll go through eventually here verses 1 through 9 and verse 16. We won't have to go through the whole chapter. Some of the background. The book of Deuteronomy summarizes the law, reminding the children of Israel of their history, their calling, and their duties to the Lord as a prelude to entering the promised land. This is being written in between 38 and 40th year, probably latter half of the 39th year before entering the promised land. It provides instruction for observing the feasts after they are settled in the promised land. That's important to note. It's a summary. Summaries often present slight variances from the detailed instructions that were previously given, as we will see. Keep in mind that Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread are used interchangeably in Deuteronomy 16. We'll see that as well. When one is named, it also includes the other without naming the other. Passover was observed during the 40 years of wandering. We just saw in Numbers chapter 9, instructions were given as they were doing out in the wilderness. This book, of course, is being written at the end of the 40 years. Deuteronomy is Greek. It means the second law, the repeat of it. When God gave Moses the original instructions for observing the first Passover in Egypt, there was no priesthood or systematic system of worship, as now is the case. That was set up 1 year after Israel left Egypt. In Exodus 40 and verse 17, Exodus 40, 17 is where the Levitical system commenced after the tabernacle was completed, in Exodus 40 and verse 17. That provided a central place for all worship ceremonies required by and under the Old Covenant. Now with that in mind, let's take a look at the verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Let me read verse 1 again. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of the land of Egypt. What else? What's missing there? Well, how about the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Doesn't Exodus 12 and 13 tell us how to keep it? Seven, you put all leaven out before you begin the 15th. There's to be no leaven in your midst and so forth, and eat unleavened bread. Where's that from? That's Exodus 12, 13, both chapters. It repeats itself in chapter 13. The point here is that Passover also, as I said, they're used interchangeably. Obviously, includes the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was also kept at the time that they came out of Egypt. The bread went out, what kind was it? There was no leaven in it. Verse 2, therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. Where did the Lord choose to put his name? Wherever the tabernacle was. When they entered into the promised land, the tabernacle became stationary at Shiloh. It was from Shiloh later that it would come up by David, would bring it up to Jerusalem. It was a central location. Even later when the temple was built, the three major seasons of the year were called pilgrimage festivals, right? Where'd they pilgrimage to? They pilgrimaged to the tabernacle, or they pilgrimaged to the temple. In the spring, Josephus tells us, a Jewish historian, that at the time of unleavened bread, that it would overflow and go all the way to Bethlehem. There would be as many as 3 million people coming in for that pilgrimage to come back to Jerusalem. Now, we don't have to pilgrimage there today because there's no temple, or that is not the location. Paul would always go back for the pilgrimage ones. We read in the book of Acts, he'd have to be there for Pentecost. He bypassed Ephesus and so on. I think that's in chapter 20 of Acts. And he made a point. He didn't explain exactly why he wanted to be there on those dates, but he did make occasions to be back in Jerusalem on those holy days. Now, the word herd, it indicates here that we're obviously talking about the days of unleavened bread. From the flock is where you get the lamb or a goat, by the way. In Exodus 12, verse 5, you could use a lamb or a goat. Now you think about it. Now, I don't know that goats were ever used that much. But on the original one, who knows? They may have not had enough lambs. But he gave them to use a young goat. Now, have you ever seen a goat that's less than a year old? I mean, it is a pet. It is so innocent. It is it's just like the lamb. So I can see why God would have given them the option there, at least in the original Passover, to do that. So when it says herd, it could include, in this case, goats. But most likely this is referring to the sacrifices during the days of unleavened bread. Remember, Christ is the Lamb of God. He is not the calf of God. So it was not from the cattle, and we do not in any way. Nor was Moses saying you can now sacrifice a young calf in the first year for the Passover. That is, we have to look and realize exactly what he's talking about. Now, in Numbers 28, we were just there. But let me check my time here. Numbers 28, verse, let me go back there quickly. 16. Let's start here in verse 16 of Numbers 28. Pointed out, of course, that the Passover was mentioned there. Something else I didn't talk about. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. Verse 17, the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread you shall eat for 7 days. Verse 18, on the first day you shall what? Have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs, and in their first year, and be sure that they are without blemish. They are, of course, to represent an aspect of Christ. And in verse 24, in this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days, and as a sweet aroma to the Lord, it shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. The reason I would turn there, and I'm coming back to Deuteronomy 16, that which was from the herd was to be used for the daily offerings during the 7 days of unleavened bread. And showing here again that when it says flock, that's referring to the Passover. Herd is primarily referring in this case to the 7 days of unleavened bread and the separate offerings. They had, you read further, there was both morning and evening and that they had. And they were special offerings too at that time. They were burnt offerings. They were from the herd. The place where the Lord chooses to put his name was, of course, where the tabernacle was. Look at verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. Obviously, we're moving from Passover into unleavened bread. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Of course, we eat no leavened bread with the Passover. We have to have all the leavened bread out by the beginning of the 15th or the night to be much observed, as we call it too. So there's no leavened bread to be eaten during the 7 days of unleavened bread. That, of course, is also detailed in Exodus 12 and 13. Now let's look at verse 4. Here's where we get into some of the dicey stuff. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, no problem there. Nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. Well, the Passover was sacrificed at twilight. What is the first day here? sometimes is it the first day of unleavened bread? Which many people will use this verse. See, right there. Moses transferred the Passover, which is kept at twilight, to the first day of unleavened bread. Is it the first day of unleavened bread? Or is it the first day of the two feasts, which would be the beginning of the 14th? Notice in verse 8 that it does not call this first day a sacred assembly, as it does the last day of unleavened bread in verse 8. Let's drop down there. 6 days, verse 8, you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. Isn't it kind of interesting and curious, too? The term first day actually is the 14th day of Abib here at twilight, when none of the sacrifice of the lamb was to remain until morning. Remember, it was not to remain there until the morning. Twilight remain overnight until morning at the end of verse 4. Well, the only time we ever see that expression is given, of course, at the Passover, and it's always on the 14th. The first day of unleavened bread actually is never specifically mentioned in this chapter as either a holy day or a sacred assembly. And that's important to know. Because if the term first day in verse 4, if people want to argue that it's referring to the first day of unleavened bread, the 15th, why doesn't it ever mention that it is a sacred assembly or a holy day. It does on the last day in verse 8. Nowhere is the first day. Now, based on Deuteronomy chapter 16, if that's all you read, then we do not have to keep the first day of unleavened bread as a sacred assembly. It doesn't say so. We only have to keep the seventh day. If you're only going to go by Deuteronomy 16. Well, obviously, Deuteronomy 16 is a summary. It is not canceling out everything Moses gave before, or God gave to Moses before, in Exodus and in Leviticus and in Numbers. So keep that in mind. So when you come now and look at verse 4, again, read into verse 5. You may not sacrifice the Passover. Well, wait a minute. That shows here that we're talking about the Passover, right? Within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. So this is talking about the Passover. The question, of course, is the first day the first day of the two feasts, or is it the first day of unleavened bread? Well, it's not the first day of unleavened bread. let me pick up my notes here. A couple things to add to that as to why that was not the case. The Jewish Study Bible states on these verses here, and particularly verse 4, quote, Passover was originally separate, a separate observance celebrated within the family or clan. That's a very important statement that is made, showing that they were not combined. It was an eight-day feast, meaning two feasts. What do we have in the fall? We have an eight-day feast, which is two feasts, right? also, another point that is worth making here, the Encyclopedia Judaica, 1971 edition, Passover. Quote, the feast of Passover consists of two parts, the Passover ceremony and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Originally, both existed separately, but at the beginning of the exile, they were combined. Well, you know, the evidence is enough there that it's quite clear that this first day is talking about the first day of the two feasts. Isn't that cute? All right. Many times, mothers having to get up, everybody watching them as they walk out. Well, my wife went through that three times. And and sometimes when I wasn't speaking, I went through that too. But we understand, don't we? All right, coming back here. So in verse 4, really, the preponderance of evidence, I guess, is the best way to put it. That first day is not talking about first day of unleavened bread, because it doesn't say anything about a sacred assembly, as it does in verse 8, nor the fact historically admitted by the Jewish sources that the two, Passover and unleavened bread, up until the time of the captivity, were separate. They were separate. At the time of Christ, they were not. We'll see that here before we finish. Okay, let's go on. Verse 6. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. Well, now, wait a minute here. Now, that kind of looks and sounds like it was on the 15th, the way that's worded. Is this translation correct? Is that how it should be rendered? Well, the Hebrew here for time is moed, M-O-E-D, and it means an appointed time or an appointed season. Now, examples of this translation, in, that is in other translations with this meaning, the King James Version. I was just reading from the New King James. The King James Version says, at the season that you came out of Egypt. See, that isn't as precise. Now, the King James here is really putting an interpretation on it. And by the way, a lot of your newer translations, the American Standard Bible, the original American Standard Bible, says, and I have it quoted here, at the season that you came out of Egypt. But the New American Standard Bible says exactly what the New King James does. And I've noticed that on a lot of the newer translations, they translate it to make it sound like They came out on the 15th. The Tanakh, which I thought was quite interesting, you know what the Tanakh is? That's the Jewish translation into English. They call it Tanakh. They say at the time of day that you came out of Egypt. At the time of day. The Complete Jewish Bible by David Stern says, at the time of year that you came out of Egypt. And the New Revised Standard Version says, at the time of day that you came out of Egypt. So a number of the translations do recognize, as the original King James did, it's the word means the appointed time or season that you came out of Egypt, not at the precise time that you came out of Egypt. Yet the newer translations translate it to make it look, sound like at the precise time. And that is incorrect. Verse 4 and verse 6 put together is what has confused people and in the Church of God. And I just had a situation here come up, when was it, you know, a week or so back, and in another church area where an individual, you know, is so convinced that they're going to stay home and keep the Passover on the 15th and not come to services. And hopefully, though, maybe if they look at some of the things that we sent to them, may change their mind on that and realize that you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You're putting them all in verse 4 and 6 of Deuteronomy 16. Big, big mistake. Because it is a summary. The whole book is a summary, and so is chapter 16 of the Holy Days. They're not given in order. And the details of how to keep them. In fact, the first day of unleavened bread is never even called a holy day or a Sabbath in chapter 16, as it is previously. All right, let's see. Move on, verse 7. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses, and in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. And so they came to the tabernacle area temporarily to stay, to kill them. By the way, it wasn't you, the head of the household, could kill it at the tabernacle, not the priest. And by the time of Christ, the priests were doing all the killing. But it says you. Who's you here? Everybody is you. Instead of doing it in your separate huts over here, wherever it was, come to the place where the Lord places his name, the tabernacle around here. And you stay there, you kill it, you eat it, roast it, eat it, and consume it or burn it up, and then you leave and go back to your tents in the morning. And that's how it was to be done when they went across the Jordan River into the promised land. Again, verse 8, 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. What's missing? The first day, right? Where's the first day? Is that, he's summarizing, assuming that we already know that, or his audience knows it. Look at verse 9, you shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time that you begin to put the sickle to the grain. When's that? Based on Deuteronomy 16, it doesn't say. You only know that because of Leviticus 23 that tells you when to do it. See, again, certain facts are left out. So keep that in mind when you're looking at, if somebody brings this up to you and tries to say, look, the reason I'm even reading verse 8 and 9 is to point out the summary style that Moses is using here. He doesn't give all the details. And we take up the offering. Look at verse 16. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. What about Passover? In other words, it's assumed and understood, but he does not list it, does he, along with it? And of course, he doesn't list the other holy days in the fall of the year. With tabernacles, or before tabernacles. So, again, if we look at this, we can begin to see look at it more carefully, we realize it is a summary, it does not give all the details, and in verse 4, first day is referring to the first day of the two feasts, which would be the Passover. And Jewish historians will tell you that the two were separate, not together as they are today. They were originally separate. A total of 8 days. I didn't read it to you, but Josephus also in his History of the Jews makes mention of that. even though that they were keeping it as a seven-day feast when Josephus wrote Antiquities of the Jews. I've got that here. Maybe I can read that to you. Hence it is that in memory of that day of scarcity, we keep for 8 days a festival called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. 8 days, not seven. That means that Passover and unleavened bread were separate when he wrote that. He obviously included and meant Passover. Otherwise, you'd say seven. You wouldn't say eight. So quite interesting there on some of the things. Well, let's move along. Jesus and his disciples, they kept Passover at the beginning of the 14th, and that's why we in the church do it to this day. And it's important to look at that. I want you to notice something over here in Luke. We'll read this again at the service of the Passover. Luke 22, just to show you a little bit of the thinking of the time. In Luke 22:1, now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover. Look at that. Shouldn't it be Passover, which includes the feast? They're opposite. Passover comes before unleavened bread, right? They're used interchangeably in the First Testament, first century time. You will find that. Luke says that again in Acts chapter 12. Notice over here in Acts 12 and verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, verse 4, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Wait a minute, Passover is before unleavened bread, right? See how they're being used? Luke in his writing uses it interchangeably here. And coming back, now, a key scripture is Luke 22. He told his disciples, what verse is it? To go and prepare the Passover. There was no question in their mind. Why wasn't there any question in their mind if this was something unusual? This was the 4th Passover in his ministry, 3.5 years. It tells us that the previous 3 were on the beginning of the 14th. There was no question in anybody's mind. They didn't say, well, why are we? It's a day later. They had already been keeping it on the 14th and always had, because Christ, of course, is the Lord who spoke to Moses and gave him these things. And then in verse 15, Jesus said, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer. And of course, how do we know it was on the 14th? Well, we go over here to the book of John, chapter 18, and there are 2 scriptures here that tell us exactly that Christ kept it at the beginning of the 14th. John 18:28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, Christ had the Passover with his disciples, 12 hours before. And now the Jews they don't want to be ceremonially defiled going into this Gentile praetorium or whatever it was. Antonio prison the place was. So, because they hadn't taken the Passover. And the Passover was going to be that evening. Probably about, let's just say 12 hours later, the Passover for them, the 15th, would begin. One other one is chapter 19 and verse 14. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the 6th hour, that would be noon. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. 6th hour, wait a minute, is that right? He died at the, that's right, because he was put up on the 3rd hour. The time began at 6 in the morning, and each block of 3 hours, he died at the 9th hour, as it says later here, which would have been the afternoon. So around noontime on the 6th hour, behold your king. But notice, it's the preparation day of the Passover. They haven't taken the Passover yet. So this is why the New Testament church keeps the Passover as it originally was in Exodus 12, and again taught in Leviticus 23, and other places in Numbers. And certainly the book of Deuteronomy 16 does in no way cancels out any of the previous details of how to keep it or of the future. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of Jewish, if they did not reject Jesus Christ, they would understand indeed that the Passover should be at the beginning of the 14th, and they would not be having a Seder meal on the 15th. Because Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. How could he make a mistake like that? He could not. And sometimes people get narrow-minded into just focusing in on Deuteronomy 16 and they don't stop to think. Did Christ make a mistake and keep the Passover on the wrong day? Well, ridiculous. Of course not. I won't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, where Paul is telling the Corinthians how to keep the Passover correctly, and he makes mention, and on that night, what night was it? The night that Christ kept it, which was the night of the 14th. So, again, we see how all of this fits together, and Deuteronomy 16 does not do away with it. We do keep it on the correct night. It should be, as it originally was, on the beginning of the 14th. So after considering both the scriptures and history, and the preponderance of the evidence clearly supports the true Passover being at the beginning of the 14th of Abib or the beginning of the 14th of Nisan. Brethren, let's follow the example of the true Lamb of God and prepare for having a very meaningful Passover.